This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God, when we fall into the traps of groundless fears, you deliver us. When an epidemic of worry threatens to overcome us, you protect us. When harmful words are flung at us, you answer our cries for help. So when our lives crumble, urge us to buy hope's fields. When we are tempted by wealth, point us to those who have nothing but share everything. When we are eager to grasp senseless lies, wrap our hands around your promises. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
We all know that song. Those of us who have some experience with Charles Milling and Unplugged, by a little different beat. And when we go back to the original spiritual beat that that tune was written in, it's a little off-putting for us, isn't it? Trying to do it a different way. Same message, different beat. Maybe that's the theme of the readings that we hear today. My favorite story connected with this particular parable is told of a Sunday school teacher who had taught this particular gospel story. And when she was finished, she asked the class, "Now, who would you rather be, the rich man or Lazarus?" And a very smart little boy said, "Well, I'd like to be the rich man while I'm alive, but Lazarus when I'm dead." Very smart. This is a parable that obviously talks about money. If you remember, last week, the gospel story ended telling us you cannot serve both God and wealth. There is something about wealth and our attachment to it that, as somebody at the early service today said, maybe it's more about power. But whichever way we want to look at this, it has something to do with those things to which we are tempted to give our attention and our efforts and our priority to that is not God. And for the most part in life, it ends up being wealth. There's 38 parables in the gospel. 16 of them talk about money. In the scriptures, there are about 500 verses that talk about prayer. There's less than 500 that talk about faith. There are over 2,000 that talk about money. So there's something about it that God wants us to have the proper approach to it. And if we were to just listen to that first reading, we might be tempted to say, well, let's invest it all in real estate and we'll be good. Well, there is some investing in real estate that is important, but it's in a bigger scale than buying a plot of land. It has to do with where we position ourselves and place our feet in God's kingdom. This gospel, again, talks about two different worlds. Simply put here, it's earth, heaven, and hell. And certainly we talk about these a lot. This past week, we celebrated the feast day of St. Matthew, the tax collector. And there's some wonderful, wonderful artistic depictions of Matthew's call when Jesus comes to him and says, "Follow me." And there are many great depictions of it, but my favorite one was done by a man by the name of Caravaggio. And in that particular depiction, Matthew is doing this as if to say, "Who, me?" And with his other hand, he is clutching the money from the taxes he has just collected. that there is this artistic representation that when God calls, am I going to give my heart or am I going to hang on to these worldly goods? That is the call we're given. And we get this so many times in so many different ways. The great line of C.S. Lewis and Thierry de Chardin that says that are we material beings having a spiritual experience or are we spiritual beings having a material experience? We talk about living in the world and not being of the world. Those words that we just heard in Paul's letter to Timothy today that we have on the sign out on the street, godliness combined with contentment, that it becomes so important for us to emphasize the things that truly matter. We even sing about it in contemporary Christian hymns that this world is not our home. We are not home yet. So it becomes this idea of the real estate. And I'd like to pose it in terms of different circles in which we find ourselves. There is this circle of our earthly existence now. That circle that we could end up placing all importance to. There's even a piety that we look at when we talk about Episcopal 101, that some of you were with us on Wednesday, when we talked about a past-oriented piety, meaning we want things to be the way that we thought they were best, the way they used to be. We want to hang on to things as they are. But then there's another piety and another circle and another world that's over here that's all future-oriented, meaning that all I want to do in my life is to get as many people into heaven as possible, and my whole focus is just on that alone. That this existence here is depraved and bad, but this is what I'm going to be led to. Two different worlds, past-oriented, future-oriented. There is another world that Jesus is calling us to live in. And with most things Episcopal, it's not either or, it's both and. And there is this idea that we live between the two. That in some way, we are headed towards this fullness of eternal life, but in some way, we experience it now. If you notice in that reading to Timothy today, Paul says, fight the good fight of the faith, take hold of the eternal life. Take hold of the eternal life. He's making it clear that it's something we can experience now. And so it becomes for us as we look at this particular story, a call to us that the real estate that God is calling us to capture in the kingdom of God is something that's now. You know, Jesus says so many times in talking about the kingdom of God, saying, it is upon you, it is near you, it is at hand. Meaning that this way to live as Jesus lived is such that we're going to be able to experience some of that eternal life now. Not in its fullness, but certainly lots of aspects of it. Remember Mother Teresa, she's famous for doing and saying so many things, but one of my favorite things is she quotes this prayer in this poem that ends with, I want to live my life to become more and more transformed into Jesus so that at the end, people are going to look up and they're not going to see me anymore. They're just going to see Jesus. This is this call to living between these concentric circles of finding the kingdom. How does that happen in this parable? Well, the way that I really get in touch with this parable is understanding the fact that it's the only parable of all the stories Jesus told where somebody is called by name. Think about that. We have the sower and the seed. We have the Good Samaritan. We have the prodigal son. the loving Father, the elder Son. This is the only parable where somebody's called by name. Lazarus. Now, what's important about that in our understanding of the story is this. We have this rich guy. Oh my gosh, linen underwear. Dressed in purple. He had it all. And he had this understanding of how the relationship was supposed to work, especially with him and those who were beneath him. And the cue to the story is this. When I was in another Episcopal church years ago, it was the early stages when there was more and more of an acceptance of women clergy. And praise God, we are beyond that at this point. We are so blessed by having over half the population in our world having the opportunity to serve us as priests. And in this particular parish where I was in conversation with somebody who said, I just don't like female priests. We had one in that church. And so I said, well, what about Davette? Oh, she's different. This person knew Davette and accepted and loved her. And the important part to take away from the story is the best way for us to open our eyes up to that transformation, to becoming more like Jesus, is get to know other people's stories. You know, those of you who had the opportunity along the way to go on any of the mission trips that we've done, either inside or outside St. Joseph's, you know how transformational that is. You are more committed to serving because you know these people. Maybe not by name, but metaphorically by name. You help out at Holy Redeemer and you hear the stories of folks that if we didn't provide a dinner to them, they wouldn't eat. We get more understanding and committed. We get to know people of different outlooks and different sexual orientations and different just positions in their life, and we understand that with God, it doesn't matter how much money you got, how much power you got, how much influence you got, how young you are, or how old you are, that we're all God's beloved children, called to love and to be loved. So why is that important to this story? The rich man goes to hell, and he calls Lazarus by name. He knew Lazarus. That's the ultimate important line in this story. Why does this guy go to hell and remain in hell? Because he will not change. He will not allow God to transform him to have a little bit different viewpoint on the world. This is the way it's supposed to be. I'm rich, he's poor, and even in the afterlife, send him now to serve me. Bring some cold water, Lazarus. And he is damned to hell for all eternity. It's about transformation. It's about us as we live in those concentric circles right in the middle to experience the kingdom of God more in its fullness and to help to bring it about. Some people say, as we say in the Apostles' Creed, that he descended into hell, that the whole reason for that was Jesus to go down to people like the rich men of the world in the parable and to offer them a final chance for repentance and transformation. Well, unfortunately, it doesn't appear in this story that he took Jesus up on the offer. It's important for us to continue to let God transform us. That as we experience more of that eternal life now, that it's going to be easy when we make that full transformation into heaven. One of my seminary professors, Dallas Willard, used to always say, you know, we ought to start living in God's kingdom and enjoying it. Because what makes us think if we don't enjoy living like Jesus now and living with Jesus now, that we're going to enjoy doing it when we get to heaven? The call is now. May we continue to open our hearts to the ways in which God wants us to experience now that eternal life. Amen.
Amen.